Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday Morning Anime Podcast, where we leave the analysis to the professionals. I'm Trey, your React Andy.
And I'm Xavier with more cowbell.
Before we get started today, I want to remind everyone that while our favorite shows are totally intended for kids, this show is not.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about manga, or more specifically, how to get into manga. In the year of our Lord being Yusuke Urameshi, 2020, because things are weird now. And upon reflection, I think that for the manga industry, despite it like booming, mind you, things have been sort of strange.
Yeah. It's weird, right? Because, you know, the COVIDs, right? A lot of people experience manga for the first time. Like, we've talked about how it's happened to us, but like, I know people who are into like related topics and find it at a convention, or who pick it up in a public library or a school library or something. And like, you look at how manga is doing, like purchasing numbers wise and like digitally in manga magazines, and everything's doing pretty well, but like the culture surrounding manga is taking a big hit because of current socioeconomic and global circumstances involving the funny death plague.
Yeah. Especially the one that like really hits home for me is cons, because a lot of how I found more of the manga that I was looking for, like the less mainstream stuff that's harder to find at Barnes and Noble and such, though I do think that like them and Books a Million have been on it in recent years, from what I've heard from other people, because as we discussed before, now it's been a fucking millennia since I've been in Barnes and Nobles, so like they're doing a good job. But like, whenever I talk to someone about like, hey, where'd you get like that obscure doujin or light novel, it was usually from a con.
Yeah, and that's fair. I went to a Barnes & Noble literally today, and they have a pretty impressive, like, section for manga, I'll admit. Like, they got some pretty good shit going on. Like, they had, like, 7 or 8 volumes of Urusei Yatsura just, like, on the shelf, and I was like, holy shit, all right. And they had, obviously they have fucking, like, entire shelves of My Hero Academia and, like, Jujutsu Kaisen and all the new hotness, you know?
But Books a Million had all of Bungo Stray Dogs.
Seriously?
The manga version. That was weird. That was something I did not expect, because that is, like, a well-known manga, but not necessarily a very popular one in the West.
Second and Charles had, like, most of Soul Eater, and then, like, the first half of it in, like, collector's editions and stuff, which was a fun surprise. I enjoyed that. I even found, like, most of Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, which isn't like the most popular thing around in Second and Charles. So like, they got selections and stuff, but like really, really obscure stuff. Like, this isn't the most obscure, right? But I recently read Fire Punch the man who's writing Chainsaw Man right now. I don't know that person's name. I apologize. I've never seen Fire Punch in a fucking store, you know? I haven't even seen Chainsaw Man like in a in-print book
store. I've seen Fire Punch exactly one time. It was in the Momocon manga library, and the only reason I remember seeing Fire Punch is because Fire Punch was next to some other manga, and I very hastily bought a copy of Soul Eater to get Nostalgia Critic to sign it.
You know what, that's fair enough. That's actually really dope. But yeah, like I've never seen a print copy of Fire Punch, right? I just read it all online, as many a manga reader reads manga nowadays. And I want to own Fire Punch because I really had a good time with it, right? And it's only 8 volumes, something like that. Like, it's not like it would break the bank to like buy it over a period of a little while. But stuff like that, or even more obscure than that, you're not even going to find. Or things that are like a little more popular, like
Old.
Oh, old stuff's also really hard to find. But even stuff that's like being published now that's really popular, like, you're not finding like Jogon at a fucking Barnes and Noble, like, really. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point, because it's like a lot of the stuff you can find like at stores like caters to a certain shonen audience. I remember it was a big deal when you could find like Tokyo Ghoul at stores, because that was a little bit more mature. But it's not like you can find Re as easily. No. I've noticed.
Well, Tokyo Ghoul's kind of like it's a lot bigger now, you know, because I saw Tokyo Ghoul like at these stores today, right?
Yeah.
And Yeah, no, like it's expanded a bit, right? Because there's a lot more romance. There's a bit more light novel stuff going on. There's darker stuff. Like you could buy a lot of Berserk at these stores, but I feel like Berserk is a bit of an exception because it's Berserk. Sometimes you see stuff like High School of the Dead, if you're really lucky. There's always a shitload of One Punch Man. Like there's all this really popular stuff, and all this kind of fits into, like, with minor exception, the general trends of like pretty popular stuff. So I like I said, I don't know what direction this conversation is supposed to go, because when I was talking in pre-production with Xavier, I told him all the anime news that I found, and he responded with, "Great, let's start. It's adorable. You think you get to hear the production notes?"
Actually, you fed into the production notes, hook, line, and sinker, Trey, as I always knew you would. Because you mentioned that you read all of Fire Punch online, and I do think that especially in times like these, especially if you're immunocompromised, or maybe just don't trust people, which is fair, or you don't have a lot of discretionary income, especially if you live in the U.S. right now, where everything's really slowed down, finding a job is really hard, and the government is fighting over whether or not to give you an extra $600, things can be hard. And with that in mind, I think that it is perfectly acceptable to find manga online. But there are a couple of caveats to that. One, like, straight up, it is piracy. And as much as I, like, realize, like, I wouldn't have read a lot of the things that I read without that, it's like a moral decision you have to make. And I feel like the older I get, the more guilty I get about it. What about you?
So I will say I have in my past read some series online in ways that may have been less than legal. And most anime and manga fans nowadays, I feel like, are in a similar boat. I've never, like, really pirated or torrented, like done any of that shit. It's just sort of like, here's some scans.
But it's still like indirect piracy. Oh, yeah. It's really weird.
I'm like, here's some scans that someone, like, got from Japanese and then translated. I'm like, all right, I can, which is less bad than, like, I think, like, torrenting it and downloading it and all that shit. But, like, I didn't buy all of Berserk in print, and I don't know where you can legally read Berserk. I'll be completely honest, but Berserk, I wanted to read it, you know? I don't feel too guilty about it, because most of the things I end up reading, right? At least not most, but, like, large chunks of the stuff I do end up reading, and almost everything I read to completion, because I drop stuff a lot, are things I find myself enjoying a ton, or at least enough where I'd consider buying these, like, books, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when I read Fire Punch, I was like, all right, the author gained nothing from me doing this, but, like, I want to buy it now and support Fire Punch. I'm going to tell other people to read it. I'm going to buy print copies myself. I'm going to support this author's future work, right? So in some ways, I never would have gotten into Berserk if I had, like, tried to consume it legally, but now I know for a fact I want to own, like, all of Berserk in print because I read Berserk. It's the same way where, like, you emulate a game to get a demo of the game and then you buy the game, which is a thing that I actually have only done, like, not anytime recently. I did that with, like, old Pokemon games and stuff, you know, like, I emulated Pokemon.
Yeah, and I feel like that's probably going to become more prevalent the further into subsequent console generations we get.
I agree. Yeah, I think, well, especially with older stuff, because, like, let's say you own a GameCube and you want to play Mario Party, like, 5, which is a good one, right? That's a fucking $80 video game. Like, let's say you want to play Paper Mario.
Which is, like, fine. That's one of the things. Weird side tangent. I'm going GameCube game hunting tomorrow, and I'm just like, at most I'm going to get, like, 2, because 2 in today's age will run you $100 for a game that is not in print anymore.
Yeah, no. I mean, you've seen the GameCube games I've got on deck, right? I have a really nice quality, like, Thousand Year Door, like, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door with, like, booklet included, and, like, the disc is perfect and shit. That's, like, a $250 video game, and I'm not gonna ask someone to go out and buy that video game if they want to try and play it. Like, you can emulate the first chapter on your computer. You can have, like, the whole game on your computer if you want, I'll be completely honest.
Yeah.
But things that, like, for me at least, I don't find a lot of guilt, because the things I end up reading online through scans are things that I end up, like, buying, you know? Like, I look over, I have a bunch of manga that I would never have purchased if I had not been given, like, a easier way to access them initially, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that another good part of it is, and it's part of what you brought out, is a lot of the times, like, I end up buying it anyway. And I do think that when you're reading stuff online, like, consider buying it, like, really. Because let's be honest, like, the services that were originally available to us, like Viz scans and even Crunchyroll scans, aren't great. Like, the fan scan community just does a better job most of the time.
Absolutely. They put the fucking work in. Like, we're big Record of Ragnarok fans. Other than that one chapter of, like, Shiva's backstory, where they had to have other people do it for whatever reason.
Even that got fixed in, like, a week.
Yeah. That team is fucking incredible and very quick at, like, getting their translations out. Same for the people who are doing, like, Jogon, which is another thing that's, like, current that I'm reading. Way better than any official, like by, like, fucking, like, an X-Comic subscription to get your Attack on Titan or something. I don't know.
That said, if you do have, like, a little bit of money that you don't mind parting with, right? And I'm just going to plug them. We're not sponsored by them, even though they sponsor, like, the biggest names in AnimeTube and such now. But, like, amazing service. Bookwalker. I don't know if you've ever been to Bookwalker, Trey.
I've seen ads. I've never, like, taken up on the ads because I'm a terrible person.
Basically, it's a really... and I think they sell physical books, too. But for the most part, it's an ebook store for manga and light novels at really fair prices. And when I say, like, they get everything, like, they get everything. Like, they get manhwa, they get random light novels. Like, my dad is the darling of VTubers, or the queen of all VTubers. It's a really good light novel series. The Faraway Paladin, which is a manga that I've been trying to get a physical copy of forever. That's coming to Bookwalker as an ebook, like, things like that. So, like, all reasonably priced. To a degree, they have a system that works kind of like, if you're familiar with, like, the Nintendo Gold system, called coins, where a lot of it is purchased in coins and you get so much back for purchasing. Right now I think they're running a promotion for, like, 50% of your coins back on any purchase, or your first purchase.
Fucking rad. Yeah, we're not sponsored, so don't, like, we don't have a code or anything.
Yeah, we have nothing to give you. I'm just, it's a good way to get into manga if you're, like, way against what is technically pirating, but it's gray area.
If it's a good service, like, I support you in supporting that service. I'll be real, I've never, like, I've bought a lot of manga physical, right? I've never paid for ebooks or digital copies of manga, and I'll admit that. Like, I don't... It's always been, like, fan translations and scans and stuff. Like, I've never gone and torrented and, like, done direct piracy or anything. So I feel like I'm in the gray area. But, like, most of the stuff that I've read, I've bought. So, like, I don't feel bad about it. But go to Bookwalker. It's, depending on how you feel about morals, probably a lot more justifiable than whatever you've been doing.
Bookwalker is good. The website for Kodansha is good. Kodansha Comics. Notably published things like Sweet and Soap and Ace of Diamond, and the Ajin manga, and they also did the Akira manga. Hey, things like that.
Hey, I held a copy of that manga today. I couldn't buy it.
Why not?
The Kodansha,
because it's ongoing and you didn't want to.
No, what? Shut the fuck! What are you fucking talking about? No, that manga's 40 years old. Okay, no,
but I'm talking about the current, like, print edition. Like, there's a new print edition.
The new Kodansha edition is
fucking beautiful.
It's gorgeous. But hear me out. It has some art changes from the non-original artist, and it reads left to right, front to back. So I'm gonna buy the collector's edition instead.
That's entirely fair. I will say, though, those art changes, have you seen them?
No, though? Absolutely not.
It kind of makes it better. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't care.
The reading thing, like, yes, you feel like a dirty, dirty American, but also you are a dirty, dirty Westerner. I mean, fuck it.
No, I will hopefully be acquiring, like, the the collector's edition 35th anniversary box set thing, because I'm a horrible person who wants it hardcover, and I want the spines to have the original art like the fucking collector's edition does, because I'm a loser and I like Akira that much.
That'll run me about $150. I wouldn't know, and, I say, looking at my 35th anniversary box of hardcover. I wish I was lying.
As someone who Googled the price and has already put in the plans to acquire it, I know exactly that it's $149.99 and there's one left in stock on Amazon.
Really? Only one? Well, there you go.
That's already mine, sorry. But hey, that's one way to get into manga. Just start buying it on the internet and have it mailed to your home.
This is true.
Not exactly the most price effective, I will say.
But a lot of people don't like... This is another thing where I'm like, maybe ebooks, maybe whatever. You'd be surprised the amount of people that I meet who are like, I don't feel comfortable putting my card information on the internet.
No, people don't do
that.
And then
it's like, yeah, man, go to Manga Reader. I don't know what to tell you.
Bro, go to Manga Life. We got you. They change their URL like once a month. No, I will say, like, pros and cons. It is probably, depending on how you feel about companies or where you're ordering your stuff from, morally better or morally worse to buy it. I think if you're buying it from Amazon, you're still in a gray area. If you're buying, depending on the
company. I mean, you're not wrong. Especially if it's from, like, here's the thing that's weird about buying manga from Amazon. And if you can find your, like, print manga anywhere else, I would suggest you do so.
Yeah.
Is the fact that Amazon, one, not the best company, but two, is full of a bunch of resellers. So theoretically, they could just way overcharge you for a used product. Oh, so you always have to look at who you're getting it from.
Yeah, that's why I support, like, more direct purchases, you know. But, like, if you buy, like, direct purchase in print and just have it mailed to you from, like, original printers, that's probably, like, the most morally sound way to get into manga.
No, you have to get it in the original Japanese or you are morally inferior.
Don't threaten me with a good time, I say, slowly learning Japanese because I'm bored and locked in my own home forever. Yeah, no. Do you want to talk about, like, how to get into manga, like, if you're just an anime fan? Or, like, do you have other directions you want to go? Because...
Absolutely. I guess the first thing is... So, you got into manga with Inuyasha, right?
I did. It's very, very good.
Before we talk about, like, how you make that transition from anime to manga, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What happened next, like, on your manga journey?
I picked up Shaman King. Next was Shaman King. Because it was what my library also had a lot of at my high school. Like, that was completely the reason why. Like, I'd watched some anime, like, on TV on shit like Toonami, you know, and, like, all that jazz, as many people did. But I never sat down and, like, started, like, really getting into it until around the same time where I was in my library. I was like, I have a library card and there's the manga over there. Let's go. So I got in about the same time, more or less, even though I'd seen anime prior.
At what point did you become aware of the concept of the big three?
So before I even read Inuyasha, like, I knew what Naruto was, right? And I knew what Bleach was, because they also had that in my library, and other people had been reading it. And I knew what One Piece was, because I was already in, like, nerd stuff, you know?
Yeah, and you can't avoid those things.
When I heard, like, the first time I ever heard the concept of the Big Three was probably really close to then, right? Because, like, I read Inuyasha almost to completion, right? It was a great time. I read a handful of volumes of Shaman King. Like, I read what my school had, which is like 8 to 10 volumes, something like that. And then I started reading stuff online. And that was when I had my, like, when I started reading stuff online, I started getting into, like, online fan communities and things, as happens. And you end up getting into all the discourse, you know, and then you talk to other people at your school. And you have, like, the people who are like, I don't like the big three. I like Dragon Ball Z. And I'm like, okay, I also like Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, that's the same fucking thing. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, we can have that conversation. Then there's, like debates where it's like, I think Naruto is better. I think Dragon Ball Z is better. And, like, all in that time, as I was getting into stuff, I eventually was, like, caught on to this idea of, like, here's the biggest, threest things that are going on right now.
threeest.
Yeah, the biggest threeest things that were going on right now. Because we had like our like one old head friend who was like, I'm too cool for those. And I'm like, I don't know, bruh. Like, I get the liking old stuff is cool, and I also like Dragon Ball, dude. But like, you watch Naruto? It's actually a pretty good shonen, I'm not gonna lie, you know? And I haven't experienced all three of the big three even now. The only one I've experienced to completion is Naruto. I've done a little bit of One Piece, and I'm larger than a little bit of Bleach.
Yeah, the only reason I bring it up is because, okay, so one, if you're listening, and you're from the US or wherever, the big three basically only exist in English-speaking countries, which I don't think a lot of people realize. Like, when Oda, the creator of One Piece, was asked about the big three, his question was, who are the other two? Not, like, as a, ooh, sick burn, but, like, he was not familiar with the concept. And Japanese fans, like, for the most part, only learned about the concept through, like, 2chan and shit.
Weird. I feel like we've probably talked about this once or twice, like, in, like, just in our general lives, right? And I've always thought this really interesting because it's like, who made this? Like,
I think it was just like fan communities online, because the first time I even heard the like mention of the big three, it was in going all the way back to our first episode, that like huge fan forum, Naruto Wire.
Yeah.
It was a debate about who was in the big three. Like, what? It was like, it was like, yes, it was like, One Piece, Naruto, Bleach. A lot of people wanted to put D. Greyman in the big three. When Haikyuu came out, there was a lot of discussion about should Haikyuu be in the big three, especially with Bleach starting to lose its spots in the rankings. Like, it was a constant debate, and the only thing anyone agreed on was that One Piece should be there. That was the only thing that was ever agreed upon. And there were also debates about what were the big three of, like, the 90s,
yeah, right?
So, like, people would be like, was it Kenshin, Yu Yu Hakusho, Slam Dunk, and then other names got sort of thrown around. So, like, around that time when I was a kid, it was still a hotly debated topic.
Yeah, well, we all know I got into anime a little later in my life than many people did. Not, like, particularly, like, ton later. But by the time I was in, there was a pretty established understanding of what the big three was. And then, like, really recently, there's been, like, the, what's the new big three? And the general consensus is a bunch of people being like, I think it's still One Piece, Black Clover, yeah, Boruto, and then someone else would be like, I think it's still One Piece, My Hero Academia, Black Clover, you know, which, like, I know this isn't really on the topic of how do you get, yeah, into manga, but a lot of people tend to start with stuff that's that popular because that's what they,
yeah, hear, no, about, that's why, you know? I bring it up because I feel like that's where people feel like they're funneled.
Yeah, no, I know people who, like, well, I saw this stuff, and I was like, well, you got to start with one of the big three, and then they find, like, a personal favorite really quickly, because they try out one of the big three, and they're like, whoa, I've never read any manga before. Bleach is so cool. And I'm like, I also think Bleach is very cool.
So the big three is, like, this amalgam of popularity, but the system itself doesn't work. And the reason I point this out is because I don't want people to feel like they have to read the big three. Because the like questionnaires and the sales are always fluctuating. Like, even One Piece doesn't, like, consecutively take number one all the time, much to the anger of some people on Twitter.
It is still most of the time.
Most of the time. Like, One Piece is, like, pretty up there.
Yeah.
Because One Piece is good, right? This is not to say that things that are in the big three conversation aren't good. A lot of them are amazing, and there are some personal favorites in there. But they're shonen. And what I mean by that is that they're mostly, like, battle series designed for young boys. And there's a lot more to manga than that.
I agree, right? Like, I think it's a disservice to funnel people, like, that quickly into stuff, but it's also, like, what people hear about first, right? And if it's any testament to, like, if you need to or don't need to listen or, like, read or watch the big three, right? I'm sitting here talking to you guys right now, and I've got, like, 30 chapters of One Piece in me and, like, maybe 100 chapters of Bleach in me. Admittedly, like, all of Naruto, but that's because that was the one of the big three that I eventually read when I, like, decided I was going to get one, and by decided I mean was forced upon me by the people that I was friends with.
Yeah, and I guess for me, like, I read all of the big three, but, like, it wasn't because they were the big three. It's because if you went to the manga hosting sites at the time, one, I would just read whatever was new. So, like, if a new chapter came out, I would read it, and that's just sort of how I progressed. But also, they were always on the front page, right? Oh, so yeah. Marketing has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely. Like, I think one of the disservices of the big three is that it often is this big focus on just battle series that are super popular, right? And that's why I really appreciate when stuff that isn't strictly a battle series gets put in the conversation, which is like, yeah, it's still shonen, but it makes me really happy when people are like, but the 90s big three was definitely including Slam Dunk. And I was like, see, this is a good opinion, right?
Well, there's all the Haikyuu stands still fighting for their spot, which admittedly they probably deserve, right? Like, by what the metric of what should be in the big three is, like, Haikyuu should be there.
If people want, like, popularity and long-term quality of shonen, right, I feel like the modern big three is probably One Piece, My Hero, Haikyuu. And then as soon as One Piece is done, if Black Clover is still running, which I'm actually not certain about because it's looking like it might be ending soon, should take that spot, because I think Black Clover is underrated in modern
Black Clover probably manga. Still has a couple hundred chapters left in it because they're in a power-up arc right now after the time skip, which is a weird organizational thing, but I digress.
Yeah, no, but I feel like we should try and encourage people to, like, not steer clear, right? Because if you really want to read, like, Bleach or something, do it.
In fact, I encourage you to read Bleach, upset other people.
No, Bleach is – people hate on Bleach for no fucking reason. But if what you want to read is, like, not that – like, if you wake up one morning and you're like, I want to read a comedy, fucking go for it. There's so much good comedy, like – all and over you the should. Place.
Toriko, Gintama, I'm still naming shonen, but I'm just saying they're good comedy. There, like, are other gag manga. Crown-sama, Shin-chan.
I'm a big both anime and manga advocate for Nichijou.
Nichijou's great. Angel Densetsu's great. GTO.
Obviously. What's the
Monthly Girls Nose Icon? Azumanga Daioh. Fine. Now I'm just thinking of a bunch.
What's the new the new hotness that's about the ex-Yakuza guy being a stay-at-home dad?
That's not the new hotness. That series has been, like, running for a while, but it is really good.
No, it's the new hotness in print stores, because it's finally in print stores. That's how I define the new hotness.
Yeah, and I think it's getting an anime.
I hope so.
What is the name of that series? I started reading it. Oh, Goku Shufudo, The Way of the House Husband.
Absolutely.
It is getting a Netflix anime, I believe.
Hell yeah.
And it's a great manga. Like, it just is.
Yeah. I also think
an unexpectedly common story is, like, Yakuza who are allowed to leave their oaths becoming, like, stay-at-home dads.
I'm thinking of, like, what's other, like, if people want, like, before we get to the topic of if you're in anime, how do you switch to manga, which we'll get to. What are other, like, I feel like almost any genre is good for getting people in. Like, if you have a friend who's, like, really into, like, horror or something, depending on what they're into, you can give them, like, Hellsing, I Am Hero, some Junji Ito shit. Like, there's, you know?
Don't give your friends Junji Ito shit.
Please don't.
We'll give them a minute for that. That's like throwing someone into, like, Nier and being like, yeah, Yoku Taro just does this.
Have we ever talked about Ito on here before?
I don't think we've, like, officially talked about Junji Ito. I mean, you're welcome to leave this part. Junji Ito does not agree with my stomach, which is to say, I'm usually okay with body horror, but that man...
I've only read a little bit because I literally can't force myself to. Have you seen the one where it's all about, like, finding your purpose and, like, not knowing what you're doing with your life and, like, the fucking... the holes shaped like people show up on the side of the cliff?
I know what you're talking about. I haven't read it. That's another thing. Junji Ito is that big that, like, people will just wear merch with Junji Ito things on and be like, oh,
dude, that manga's one chapter long and it broke me for, like, a week. Oh god, no, it's nighttime. I should not be talking about Ito.
So Junji Ito, to shed light on this mystery, is a famous mangaka who specialized in horror and specifically psychological / existential, and very commonly body horror. And fuck, ooh, they're good at it. Like, so disturbingly good at it. I don't think I've read anything from them that hasn't made my skin crawl. So if, like, you want to read a horror manga, there you go.
I still think you give something a little less tense to the
Tokyo Ghoul. All right, just give them Tokyo.
I'm an advocate for zombie stuff, so I think like I'm Hero is really good. Also vampire stuff. So sure, Helsing. Well, I don't know if Helsing's really that horror. It's
got manga's more horror.
That's fair,
mind you.
Yeah, as is like the original anime, not Ultimate. The original anime.
Or like Blood Plus, Vampire Hunter D on the topic of vampires.
I saw that in the store today. I almost bought some Vampire Hunter D today. I'm going to get around to that. But like every genre is viable for like getting a friend into manga, or if you want to get into manga, you know, from anime, like whatever your favorite shit is. If your favorite anime are all romances, go read some romance. You don't need to like feel like pigeonholed on what you need to read, you know? Like I that's why I have a problem sometimes with the discourse of like classics, as we've talked about. Because I feel like a lot of stuff gets shoved down people's throats is like, you have to watch this or you're not a real fan, or you have to read this or you're not a real fan. And while I think there are like some pieces that are really important to read because they help you like contextualize things that have followed them, or because they are really that good, right? I don't think they're necessary. Like, as we all know, I'm a huge advocate for the original Mobile Suit Gundam film trilogy that the TV show has cut down into, because I feel like its influence is felt all over the fucking place and it lets you enjoy stuff more. But I'm not going to...
Well, invented a genre, to be fair.
And I'm not going to like tell people, though, this is a must watch. And if you haven't watched it, you're not a real fan. This is like a must read. Like, if you haven't read Inuyasha, you're not a real fucking fan, bro. You haven't seen any of the big three. Do you even like anime and the manga? Like, I think that part of the discourse, which is something I see a lot, is pretty toxic, which is why I feel like it's pretty dangerous to do this whole like making people feel pigeonholed into what they want to or what they need to read or watch.
Yeah, and it's especially like, so you've been on slightly longer than I have, recently got onto Twitter, like around the time that this podcast started. Anime Twitter discourse might be like the worst thing ever, because it's a lot of people just shaming you for liking things, and the things that they like are like the same rotating list of five manga. And then in a corner of like no popularity is people who like just sort of like manga in general, and then you have artists. Like, that is what manga Twitter seems to be.
And sometimes it's funny.
Like, yeah, no, it's funny.
Like, our boy Yinka, unofficial friend of the show Yinka, might have the best and worst takes in the history of mankind, and it's incredible to, like, follow up with what happens in the anime discourse, right? But some things are pretty wild. Like, you'll have people, like, walking around being like, if you like Full Metal Alchemist, jump off a bridge. Like, that'll be like that's an anime Twitter take right there. Which, first of all, holy shit. Those people shit on Full Metal Alchemist so much. Second of all, don't tell people to kill themselves at all, especially not over media choices they like. Holy shit, Twitter.
Absolutely. It's wild. And I feel like that's detrimental, because I feel like a lot of people, like, if you're just on social media and you're like, oh, my friends like manga, and then you see their mentions and it's like these people.
Oh god, it turns people off. It can off be so really bad.
Intimidating.
Yeah, like, I like a lot of the manga that these people like, and I dislike some of the stuff these people dislike. But even I'll go in there with like a cold ass take, like the most moderate shit ever, and people will be like, "Why are you talking?" It's really intense. Like, the manga fan communities online, a lot of them, toxic as fuck and super gatekeepy, which, as we've talked about, are things this show does not support in the slightest.
That said, so I think that as our first piece of real advice that we're going to give 34 minutes into the show, because giving advice on these types of things, I feel like, is weird, because everyone sort of has their own path.
Yeah.
But one, don't feel like you have to read something popular. It's really not that serious. And also, like, go on a manga website or like a manga listing website or something like that. Like, again, if you don't want to involve yourself in piracy, I understand how some people feel about it. And like, hit the genre button or like the categories button, and see something that maybe fits into your interests. Cause I know the genre button is not something I pressed for a very long time, and I probably should have earlier.
I agree. I will say another like useful tip, right? Just Google shit like 50 best manga, 50 must read manga. And it's like, these things aren't the best or the must reads, but they're normally like these really long opinion piece articles full of just a bunch of really varied stuff with like one paragraph descriptions of them with like a piece of art or something. So it'll be like, here's the 50 manga you must read before you die. And it'll be like a super long list of not like professionally curated really, but just a bunch of different stuff that means different stuff to different people. Of a bunch of different genres and styles, and it's like a really easy way to find stuff, and then if anything from there interests you, read it, and if it doesn't, don't. And don't let anyone like force you to read things you're not interested in, because the point of stuff like this is to have a good time, unless you're reading something that's meant to make you have a bad time, i.e. like Junji Ito.
That said, I'm gonna do like a quick shout out to manhwa as well, which is sort of becoming more popular in the West. Thank you, K-pop fans. And Webtoon. A lot of people don't realize that Webtoons are very often just manhwa that have been published for a long time being put on Webtoon, or they were always on Webtoon, but now Webtoon's like a really popular app.
Isn't that how like God of High School and Tower of God, weren't those both published, or at least one of them was published on Webtoon?
I don't know about Tower of God because I still haven't read it, but I know for a fact that God of High School was.
Yeah, no, I support Webtoons. I will say, like, I don't
know. Also, Lore Olympus is really good, but I haven't read it because I'm waiting for the hype to die down.
That's fair.
My personal favorite manhwa are Catharsis and Secretary Kim. What's Wrong with Secretary Kim?
I don't have names for them because I haven't read a bunch of them. But a couple, like, video essays, as we know, I'm a slur for video essays. Referenced a handful of like really popular horror manhwa, and it seems to be that other than the prolific Junji Ito, if you're really into horror, I recommend getting into manhwa, because the horror manhwa seem to be top notch shit across the board, even for like the most popular stuff.
Oh, manhwa in general. I think that maybe it comes from like reading manga for a long time, right? And also what manga sort of gets fed to you through the hype loop. But manhwa introduces like an entirely new set of stereotypes, genre sort of trappings, and just general like recurring things. So if you're like a pretty avid manga reader who happens to be listening to this and you're just like hearing us talk, I guess, try some manhwa out. You might be able to like recapture that.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the benefits of jumping into any sort of like a new medium traditionally, is like the first time you really get into movies, right? After being like into TV for a long time, and they have like different approaches to the same tropes you've spent a lot of time with, I think is really great. So have some fun with
the manhwa. Excuse me, it's being into Netflix? No, I'm kidding.
Shut the fuck up. All right, nah.
You kids in your streaming service.
Oh God, I want to go to a movie theater so bad. Can we fix this pandemic, please? Hey, I will say
I will be watching Wonder Woman on Christmas, but God, do I wish I could go watch a Christmas movie.
Look, doesn't matter when we go back to theaters. Tenet's still bad. On that note, Jesus. We're gonna have an early anime news corner for everybody.
Is it early? We're about to hit 40 minutes. I feel like this is late for us recently.
We've been having them. Well, traditionally they're like an hour 15, because I forget. This is where they're supposed to be. But we have we have a lot of anime news. Actually, I have 6 bullet points. I'll let you take the first one though. It's a very fun release of a very very fun character in a very interesting game.
Oh my God. All right, guys. So as some of you may or may not know, one of my favorite things that Japan has ever produced is the Final Fantasy series. And one of the games that made me take video games seriously was Final Fantasy VII. And today, Sakurai chose to bless Super Smash Brothers Ultimate with Sephiroth, probably one of the most iconic villains in anything video game related, and also one of the most iconic villains in Japan. Like, he's just really recognizable. Also, like, dude, Sephiroth is so well known that, like, he made it into the Adventure Zone podcast and people were like, what? What is that?
Yeah, that's a personal favorite of mine. I apologize to the people I know who listen to the show that I'm about to at. But I have multiple, like, friends of mine who are like, the Adventure Zone Amnesty finale, it was really great. But I didn't understand. This won't be a spoiler for anyone who hasn't listened to Taz. You should. It's a fun time. I like most of the McElroy content in varying degrees. But at the end, they make recurring references to Final Fantasy VII throughout. Like, there's a side character who discovers Final Fantasy VII and really loves it. And he helps guide the heroes at the end by, like, giving a silhouette of a tall man with long white hair and a long sword stabbing something after falling directly from the sky. And the whole time I was popping the fuck off, like, oh, it's a reference to Sephiroth killing so-and-so from that 30-year-old video game.
I was about to say, way to spoiler warning this 30-year-old video game.
killing, spoiler, Aerith. From Final Fantasy VII, and I had, like, multiple friends be like, I just didn't get that, and I was like, wait,
what?
You guys didn't? That was Sephiroth doing the most iconic Sephiroth thing, and they're like, no.
But that said, they've done an amazing job. Perfect port of Sephiroth, the best villains in video games. A lot of references to the movie Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, which is a great anime movie that you may or may not enjoy.
Great's a strong word for Advent Children.
No. I'll say it. It's great. I kind of like Depressed Cloud. Fuck his character development.
I like Advent Children, but I wouldn't call Advent Children a good movie. As someone who likes, I think those fights are great. I think all the trailer references, like the Now I Will Bring Smash Despair or the I Will Never Be a Memory, all that shit's raw as fuck. I love it, but I hesitate to call it a good movie.
Trey, the only things that Final Fantasy has produced that I will never defend as great, right?
Yeah.
Are 10-2.
Okay.
And Final Fantasy Spirits Within. That is a horrible anime movie that you should never watch.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I will defend every single Final Fantasy game in some regard except for 10-2. Even like 13 and 15 have their really high points for me.
I will defend Lightning Returns.
Holy shit. I'll defend
it's still bad, but the Lightning fans liked it.
I'm looking at my steelbook for Final Fantasy 15 and I'm like, yeah, I gotta defend that till I die. I pre-ordered it. The next bullet point would be that the final Evangelion movie, like 3.0 plus 1.0, whatever they're fucking calling it. has just reached editing and is in post-production and shit soon. So that's cool. Can't wait to rewatch every piece of Ava content to prep for that and then mentally break myself. Next is... the new, like, G-Kids CG Loop on the Third film is coming out or has come out very... I think it came out a couple days ago on digital and will ship out next month in Blu-ray. And they released some really fun clips and it just looks like a good time.
As it always will.
Oh, yeah.
That is a series that just does not miss. Oh. Speaking of, like, comedy things.
Oh, absolutely. That shit's all incredible. Next is a My Anime List report of the fact that according to My Anime List, the finale season of Attack on Titan was like their largest recorded premiere ever for people writing it down on their fucking My Anime Lists.
I believe this. I part of me wants to know what the biggest anime premiere ever, like, by the stats are, right?
Yeah,
but, like, shout out to Attack on Titan the final season. Like, just, they deserve it. I'll say it.
Yeah, no. Attack on Titan's a I don't care what people say about the story, ups or downs on it. The production quality of the anime has been excellent, cover to cover. I'll say it.
Absolutely.
Next bullet points. We have two more, one of which is Demon Slayer related. After an Oricon poll, it was determined that over 90% of the populace of all of Japan is familiar with Demon Slayer in some way.
And I know to some of our, like, more weeb inclined friends, it's like, doesn't Japan know about every manga and anime? No, like, it's a, it, it is, it is culturally like Superman, I guess you could say, where it's like a decent chunk are like vaguely aware that DC Comics makes things. But the more and more you get into it, the more and more stuff you realize aren't a part of the cultural zeitgeist. And that's kind of like how manga is. Like, a lot of people read manga in Japan, don't get me wrong. And there are a lot of like franchise selling characters, but it's not like this thing where it's like you expect them to be aware of all anime and manga, which I feel like is a characterization that Japan gets a lot, that they are obsessed with their pop culture. And while they're certainly good at marketing it, like, they're still normal people.
Yeah, I will say, depending on the series, there is a lot more recognition, like how Demon Slayer has been exceptionally popular, or like fucking One Piece, you know. But like,
that's why I use the Superman example, because like everyone knows vaguely about Superman, but that doesn't mean like you know about Arsenal or what DC events are running right now.
Exactly. And the last one is that the Chainsaw Man manga is coming to an end / has recently ended. It was announced that it will be receiving a MAPPA anime adaptation, and that it will be receiving a sequel series. Now, I haven't read that yet. I read this mangaka's other work first, because
only read the beginning.
We'll talk about Chainsaw Man and our thoughts on it eventually, probably once I finish it. But yeah, congrats to that. Getting a MAPPA produced anime for your manga is incredibly impressive. Just across
and the board. Or the worst thing ever, depending on who you ask.
It might be, yeah, who knows, they might fuck it up, but I actually have faith in MAPPA to do this. I don't know shit about Chainsaw Man, really. I just think that like this manga could deserve to be more famous, because Fire Punch is really great. So
absolutely.
On that note, busy anime week. That one took us like in 7 minutes. I apologize. But big thank you to everyone listening. Big thank you to specifically this week one Masahiro Sakurai for the greatest gift of Smash Bros. History, Sephiroth. A big thank you to people in general. You know, life's hard. We're pushing the holidays. This can be up and down time for a lot of people. But I just want to let you know that everyone here at the Saturday Morning Anime Podcast staff, which depending on how you talk to it is like a range of 1 to 3 people, has faith in you. And yeah, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at SatAnimePod. If you'd like to recommend the show to a friend, give them a newer episode, because I feel like we're getting better at this. But yeah.
We're not. It's a lie. I'm kidding.
No, we're getting better at it. Not every episode better, but like generally the trend is better, you know? But thank you for listening. Please at me on Twitter. I just like getting notifications. It's very silly. You can say whatever you want. But yeah. I don't know. Do you have any thanks you want to give? All I do here is news, plug the Twitter, eat hot chip and lie, you know?
Shout out to liars, people who enjoy spicy food. Shout out to single moms who watch anime. Shout out to the 14-year-olds and the 40-year-olds. Shout out to the weebs, the dweebs, and the in-betweebs. Shout out to band members. Shout out to anyone who's ever done marching band. Shout out to teachers. Shout out to healthcare workers.
Shout out to my mom for walking around stores looking at Japanese comic books with me today.
Shout out to anyone with a shoe size under a men's 6 and anyone with a shoe size over a men's 13. I think that's my thanks for today's episode.
And shout out to... I actually will be getting their Twitter at, because everyone should go look at them. This is a Twitter artist who has been making very, very silly comics about Sephiroth, at Stoic_Miiverse. They're very cute. Their comics have Sephiroth being good friends with Kirby and Pichu, and they're endearing. On that note, we can get to the second half of the episode, and thank you guys for all the love and support.
All right, so where were we when we started the anime news? I sort of got a whiff of that Sephiroth, that good life stream.
I chose that point because what I wanted to do, right, I have this episode in mind. I'm going to give this episode to a dear friend of ours, someone that I lived with for a year when I lived with you, because he wanted to know how he could get into manga and also how he could get into the podcast. So I want the second half to be more about how to make a transition to manga, other ways to get into it. recommendations for getting into manga and like more advice stuff, unless you had more bullet points to cover.
No, that's fine. How to get into manga from anime. So the easiest way.
Yeah.
I think the most deceptively easy way is if you like an anime, go read the manga.
Damn right.
I don't actually think that's true a lot of the time.
Oh, no.
Because a lot of the time, like, it is vastly different from what you're expecting due to the nature of anime production. And I've heard of some people absolutely hating reading manga because it's not animated. I've also, maybe you just don't want to read, like, vaguely the same events. Like, you're not interested in the changes, which is totally fair.
I think depending on how you feel about the series, if you love it enough that you want to hear or like see another interpretation of it, quote unquote, right? I think that's fair. Like, I know people who have really enjoyed like watching Hunter x Hunter 2011 and then have read it and been like, that was different and a weird experience, but also still an enjoyable one, which is also a take that I get from like Full Metal Alchemist fans, you know, who like watch Brotherhood and go read the manga. Admittedly, I think the Brotherhood manga is better than the Hunter x Hunter manga. I'll say it.
It'd be like that sometimes.
But yeah, like the first thing that came to mind was I read Death Note after I watched Death Note because I thought Death Note was cool and I enjoyed both. That was one of the first manga that I read after like watching anime because I watched Death Note early.
And another thing is if you do feel like it's you're limited by the fact that like I don't want to reread what I just watched, some suggestions. One, give it some time, like give it a year, maybe let yourself forget about a lot of it the same way you would for like, I'm going to rewatch this show. Instead of doing your show rewatch, read the manga instead. That's always a good one. Also, if you find yourself watching a show and really enjoying it, stop mid watching the show and read the manga alongside it.
Oh yeah. Like read the manga, then watch an episode or something like that.
Things like that, or like read to where the manga is if you're like that avid of a reader, yeah. Then watch the show as it's airing.
Another trick that I've always really enjoyed, and this is one that's come in handy many a time in my life, is I'm enjoying a series by someone, right? And then I go, okay, I don't want to read this manga, but I read something by the same author.
Yeah, that's another good way to go. Like, oh, I don't want to read this, like this series, or like I've already seen the series. Well, you probably like the writer's tropes at the very least.
Yeah, I think that's really like that. That was kind of how I felt about Hunter x Hunter because I like at least now that wasn't with the manga, but like I watched Hunter x Hunter and was like I don't want to read Hunter x Hunter right now, but I want to read it eventually. So I like cleansed my palate by going to other work of the author and experiencing Yu Yu Hakusho, and then I jumped back into the Hunter x Hunter manga.
Another suggestion I would say is if you are coming from anime, you don't want to take any of the advice that we just said, right? Because you're like, I feel like I'm pigeonholing myself and I want the spice of life. Good option. Most manga hosting sites have random buttons.
Yep. And you can read three chapters, see how you feel, and either read it or drop it and do it again.
Yeah, or you can go, like, highest rated. Any of those sorting methods sort of work. I think that the biggest obstacle to getting into manga is just, like, one, you have to be a person who enjoys that sort of, like, enjoys the reading medium or, like, comics, that kind of thing. And you just have to be ready for it to be very, very different. Because a lot of animation studios truly do uplift the source material. But that's not to say that the source material is bad. It's just a different experience, like, completely.
I think the best example of that for me that's really easy to come to is Dragon Ball. And it's not because either is bad, because I actually think when you skip filler, both Dragon Ball and then Dragon Ball Z, anime, manga across the board is quality, right? But I think something that is Toriyama who does Dragon Ball?
Yeah, Toriyama.
Toriyama is really good at is taking advantage of the medium, right? And using the strengths of what manga can do, right? Like you see a lot of people who are like, what can anime do? And it's like, all right, we have animation, we get voice acting, we get a lot more color traditionally, we get music, we get different editing techniques and directing and stuff like that that we can mess with, right? What does manga get? Manga gets easier changes in art style. Manga gets page layouts, like panel layouts, right? And you can, like, it can be helpful getting into manga to acknowledge that this is a different medium entirely, so it will have different strengths and weaknesses to, like, mentally prepare yourself for that, right? Like, the reason I go to Dragon Ball is because I think Toriyama is a master of using panel layout to keep things frenetic and keep things interesting, right? There's also some really iconic panels in, like, that you've seen when you see, like, a fucking scan of something online. It's like, oh, there's a panel out of context. It seems that Oda is also really, really good at doing this, from what I can tell, with One Piece panels that I've seen, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I would also say that sometimes the feeling of a manga is completely different from that, are completely different from that of the anime. For instance, I think two manga that are way darker than their anime adaptations are Seven Deadly Sins and My Hero.
Yeah, no, I think My Hero's an anime is really, really good looking, right? Like, it's bones. They have fucking Nakamura and a bunch of other really talented animators on the team, and it looks good. But it doesn't look like the My Hero manga at all. The My Hero manga is dark as fuck. It's super gritty. Like, I saw the volume cover in print today of the one with, like, Shigaraki, like, scream crying on the front of, like, a purple volume. That shit hurt my soul. And there's nothing in that anime that comes close to that from, like, my, like, four seasons experience with it at this point. And that's not to say the anime's bad, right? But there can be huge shifts in tone.
Yeah, and I'm interested, like, on that note, with adaptations, it's always weird to see if the adaptation will carry over that same thing. Which, like, I trust the My Hero people, because we got a little bit of it. I think every time Shigaraki is on screen, things get generally a bit darker. And the next big part of My Hero is after, like, season 5, maybe in the middle of season 5, depending on how they split up, is a villains-only arc. So we'll see.
I was thinking of manga that do it really well in getting the tone across, and the one that came to mind for us was Soul Eater. Because I think Soul Eater, the anime, even though, like, eventually the story veers off, and Soul Eater, the manga, have a really, like, similar feel to, like, kind of contrast that of My Hero's anime and manga.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Despite, like, the story changes, which there are a lot. That's another thing. Research your anime sometimes, which is to say, if you find an anime you like, research, like, what were the changes, if any, because sometimes it's drastically different. The end of Soul Eater, the anime, is drastically different from the end of Soul Eater, the manga, and Soul Eater, the manga, is, like, longer. Same with Full Metal Alchemist. Like, Full Metal Alchemist, the manga, is way different from Full Metal Alchemist, the anime. And even slightly different from Brotherhood.
It is closer to Brotherhood, but yeah, there's still, like, I think the experience of reading Fullmetal Alchemist is different than watching either of the anime by a pretty reasonable amount, like a noticeable amount. Other stuff, like, I think that sometimes, right, like, we can tell you, like, what anime to read or what manga to read, from, like, the anime you've enjoyed, right? But sometimes it is literally just about, like, preparing yourself for the difference in medium. I will say, if you want, like, that feel of turning a page, which is, like, crack, depending on what you're reading, like, I understand, then it can be helpful to get, like, a physical copy. If your library is doing COVID-safe things, go to a library and see what they have by genre and pick something up and just read a couple chapters there sitting in the library. Because sometimes, like, reading manga online or digitally doesn't come with, like, the page turn feel, and that can affect your reading experience, right? Like, I think especially, like,
the button click feel, you don't know what you're talking about. Get a good mechanical keyboard in there.
I have the button click feel, but it's like the feeling of turning a page and, like, seeing the new, like spread, you know, or, like, how they'll use the page to make your eye move can sometimes just be different in paper. So I really do recommend, if you can, trying to get your hands on, like, a physical copy of something just for that experience to see if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, this is one of the things where it's like, a lot of people have that, like, I'll watch 5 episodes, and if I'm not in by 5 episodes, I'm not gonna watch the show. develop the same kind of rule for manga, but if you like feel yourself in that mood, like develop that rule for going out and buying a manga as well as like, am I going to put time into it?
Absolutely. I think my watch list, depending, it depends on the length of the anime, right? Like if it's like a 200 episode series, I might be willing to give it 5, 6, 7 episodes, maybe even more. But if it's like a 12 episode series and I'm not there after like 2.5, you know, then I'll drop it. And you can do the same thing for manga, right? If you're reading something super long, you could give it a volume or two. If you read something a lot shorter, you could give it 3 chapters, right? Develop what feels right for you, because it's all about how you personally interact with the media. That's the whole point.
Or you could be like me and complete things out of spite, where you complete it because it's bad and you're like, what is going on? Or you complete things because people told you they were good, but you don't see what the point is.
Look, I've been there. I don't hate Assassination Classroom. It has its moments, but I didn't feel compelled to finish it, other than like the completionist in my fucking heart was like, finish that series, coward. So I've been there.
Also, wait, this is for people who like have watched a lot of things though, or like read a lot of things, and you're like trying to recommend things to other people. Do not, this is the one thing you should avoid. Do not be like, it's really good once you get past this point. That is the quickest way to poison the well on a series that person could legitimately enjoy.
Absolutely. If you tell people you have to like get past blank, you know, even if it's true that you do have to get past that part,
there was something that got you past that point, and you should let that person experience that themselves.
You're also mentally setting them up to not like the beginning of the manga, right? Or the beginning of the anime. If you're like, well, the first 5 episodes, like when people are like, you got to get past Phantom Blood and then you get to enjoy JoJo's, you know?
And then people are like, well, can I skip Phantom Blood? Can I just like not pay attention? That kind of thing.
No, you just watch Phantom Blood with them. And then they're free and loose. But yeah, it's okay to like tell someone, hey, I don't think the series is a masterpiece or anything, but it's really great. I don't think it's great to try to like poison the well, as you said, in any regard, because you're just kind of setting the person up for failure. Yeah, I don't know. I think another thing that can be like worthwhile, right, is acknowledging that like reading manga gives you the benefit of experiencing series that have not and will never be animated. Right,
and we'll never be finished in some
cases. Oh god, the one that I am still not finished with that I really enjoy, that will never get a fucking anime, is the one, the only, the frenetic bullshit simulator that is Gamoran, which is a weird fight manga that's just got a really great sense of humor and a really great sense of flow, that's never getting an anime adaptation because it finished like a decade ago and isn't actually that popular. But it's something I never would have experienced. And also, I don't think something that would work as well in animation as it does in manga, because of how like the action is handled, personally.
Also, sometimes, you know, that's another thing. Sometimes you really don't want these things to be animated.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, there have been attempts, mind you. I don't think Berserk should be animated.
I agree. Well, I think it could be done, right? I don't know how well it could. I don't know if it could be done to a point where I'd like be really happy with it. And maybe that's me being a picky asshole. But like, some of the strengths of getting it to manga are like experiencing series that either didn't get a good anime or couldn't get a good anime, like Berserk probably, or aren't going to get animated ever. It just kind of opens up like another vat of fucking content for you to dive into. Cause like once you're caught up on all of the next season's anime hotness, which there's a lot in this season, there's a lot of shit coming out right now. There's the opportunity to be like, what's something that I'm never going to get to watch that I can only have this like once in a lifetime experience through reading. Right. That's how I feel about Fire Punch, at least, because I don't think Fire Punch is ever going to get an anime or really any recognition. But I really loved what was going on there, and I'm really glad that I read it. Like, same for Gamoran, same for probably Record of Ragnarok. Even though I could see it happening, I don't think we're getting one.
Yeah. Also, how do you feel about the statement, read the manga, it's better? I don't like that. I've said it at times, but like now, like reflecting on it recently, I'm like, eh.
There's only one series where I don't where I think you're allowed to say it, and it's Berserk. What?
I mean, that is strictly true, well, but I'm not going to be like, if someone's like, I'm watching the Berserk anime, I'm not going to be like, meh, read the manga. Yeah. I'm going to be like, so how do you feel about that? And if their problems are things that are alleviated in the manga, I'll be like, you should try the manga.
Now, I will say, I do recommend the movies. I actually think the movie trilogy for the Golden Age is pretty good. Like, it cuts stuff like wild, but I think it's good. But yeah, I don't like that at all. Mostly because I've experienced series where the manga wasn't better. I'll say it. I also think this show is, as we've said, very anti-gatekeeping. And there's a lot of gatekeeping culture around this idea of, like, don't talk to me about the anime if you haven't read the manga. And that's such a big thing that it's like a...
No, don't talk to me about Bleach if you haven't read Bleach. I'll stand by that. No, I'm kidding.
No, that's such like a prolific meme where it'll be like, don't talk to me about... And it'll be like... an image of Bible Man on VHS, and it'll be like, unless you've read the manga, and it's just a picture of the Bible, you know, like there's memes about how big of a thing like adjust glasses, read the manga, loser is.
Yeah. There's no reason. And the same reason, I don't think there's any like real reason for like the sub and dub communities to hate each other. Like, the manga and anime people should not hate each other, but they tend to.
Yeah, they do. I think it's honestly sometimes because of stuff like that. You have to read the manga. Like, there's this image that's put forth of people that like are manga mainly, like that are mainly consuming their media through manga, as like people who don't have a lot of experience with that from the anime community,
fucking nerds,
see those people as like elitists sometimes because of stuff like that meme, you know?
Yeah. Or people, this is my favorite. You know who gets the most shit?
Who?
Light novel readers.
Wait, but some of these light novels are heat though.
What? No, some of these light novels are heat, but if you're like, why are you reading the manga of Shield Hero? Why aren't you reading the light novel? Like, prepare to get shit on. And like, I don't think you should for like reading the light novel, but like, don't say that. That's just weird.
Look, I'll say it. I fucking love Konosuba. That's a series I'm going to rewatch soon and we'll talk about on the show, because I fucking love Konosuba. Those light novels are banging, and anyone who gets mad about that take is just wrong and bad. I don't care if you're a light novel reader who thinks you're better. I don't care if you're an anime fan who thinks they're worse. Shut up and stop gatekeeping. Let people enjoy their fucking light novels, all right? Was No Game No Life a light novel? I feel like it was.
I believe it was.
That's a good anime. But I've never heard any... Maybe I don't spend enough time in the light novel community, because I've seen some hate, but not as much as in the anime versus manga debate. Because these people on Twitter will be like, oh, you like Black Clover? Do you read it?
Or the two you, series,
or do you put up with Asta's voice acting? And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, wait,
that's savage.
Oh no, these people on Twitter are cutthroat, and I don't even hate Asta's voice acting like that, but these people get mean.
I think the two series I've seen it the most on for like light novels, is Goblin Slayer. Holy shit, people love to do that. And fuck, what was it? It was one of the long titled ones, but these are, and the Fate series to some degree, people are like, have you ever played the visual novel? Things like that.
Was The Devil is a Part-Timer a visual novel or no, or like a light novel? I mean,
I believe it might have so. Been
either way. Yes, I don't care if that movie,
which is to say, like, speaking of things that like you should read, if your favorite anime gets canceled,
See
if there's still more material, because I feel like a lot of people don't realize even if an anime ends, sometimes like the actual like print material is still ongoing. The anime just wasn't popular.
That's even that even happens in like bigger stuff, right? Like fucking Hunter x Hunter,
Bleach,
the Thousand Year Blood War happens after the anime ends. There's a lot of...
And it will be getting animated, like, now, but still.
There's, like, 60 chapters, 70 chapters of Hunter x Hunter content after Gon and Jing talk on top of the tree. Like, and it's got some heat in there. Like, there's good content. That's always great. What are some other series that are, like, that have gotten canceled that you're like, go read it, it's great? or that only got one season that you felt like deserved more? Because I want to read the Devil Is a Part-Timer light novels.
Devil Is a Part-Timer, Chrome-Shelled Regios is one of my faves. That was a novel series. It's a lot of novel series that gets canceled early. I'll just go ahead and say it. I can't think of off the top of my head.
There's nothing on my shelf that's been canceled. I have great taste. And also, I can only see some of my books on my shelf because I have a lot of books on the floor right now, but don't worry about it. Yeah, no. I mean,
Wonderland.
The manga is way better than the anime for that one, too. I'll say it.
Wow.
But it's because of the ending. It's because they didn't get to the best content in the manga. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That was something I watched really early, unexpectedly. I will say, sometimes you don't want to read the manga of a series, because the anime is good enough and the manga didn't get more content. Like High School of the Dead is a good anime that's very silly and very campy and plays into the fact that it's just killing zombies, good animation, and sex jokes. But the mangaka passed away before they made enough content for a second season. So there's like just not a lot there. So I just recommend like supporting the anime on that one, because where the manga left off is kind of, it hurts. As someone who's like into campy, cheesy shit like that sometimes.
Yeah. There are just a bunch of these unfortunate circumstances in the anime and manga world where like hiatus will happen or ratings aren't high enough or things like that, because it is a business, which is why I encourage people to like watch it as legally as you can if you can, read it as legally as you can if you can, because it does make a difference in like making sure that people know that people do like these things.
Oh, absolutely. Like there's a great video essay about like Shonen Jump, the remade 2021 from Super High Power Wolf, that's like, here's a list of all the cool shit that just died because nobody read it. And that always hurts my soul. Like, that just always feels painful to lose such good content. And we're still getting great stuff, right? Like, this is still the company that's bringing us shit like One Piece, and books are just finished bringing us stuff like Demon Slayer, which is really great, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a fucking cutthroat industry, so that's... support your shit. Are there any like series that you think are like really, because I know we've just sort of like vaguely been over here's advice for reading manga, you know, but are there any series you're really like, this is a manga exclusive you should read, or this is something that's really easy to read after you've been in like an anime fan or something? And I don't know if there's like a definitive answer for these, right? Because it is very circumstantial based on like what anime you've watched and enjoyed, right? As we've been over like genre buttons and things like that. But are there any like general things you'd like advise, like series that you think aren't worth, like really aren't worth reading adaptations of, or like that really are worth reading?
I wouldn't say that like there are things that aren't worth reading the adaptations of, because I think every adaptation in some way, even if I don't like it, is worth it. General recommendations for things you can only get as manga, or at least as manga in completion for some of them, I think, because this is coming for the most part off the top of my head. Vagabond, 20th Century Boys, Yotsubato.
All right, Asami Poon Poon is depressing as fuck. Go read it.
Yeah, Poon Poon, A Silent Voice. That one's always really good. That's all I can think of off the top of my head for things that without adaptations. Do you have any?
Without good adaptations, the answer is Berserk. That's like the number one. I'm sorry. It's so good. Without adaptations in general, I've already kind of named some of them. Like, I think Gamoran is really fun and good.
Yeah, Gamoran's really good.
Gamoran's just a really fun shonen-y time, you know?
So not known by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
How Gamoran has so many chapters and is also complete makes no sense to me.
It's like 200 fucking chapters and nobody
You can't it. Even find reliable information about the mangaka.
This person's a fucking ghost. They made some of the best shit. I've already named a lot of my favorites. Like, Jagan is ongoing right now. That's J-A-G, and then 6A is in an N, which is like... it's a seinen series about like human desire based superpowers, which is cool. Go read Fire Punch and Chainsaw Man and share from that author. They're great. I'll always recommend Fukumoto's stuff, which is like Akagi got an anime adaptation and Kaiji got an anime adaptation, but Kaiji has a lot more content after the anime, because the anime only covers like the first handful of volumes of like a 30 volume series, and the Kaiji manga continues to be good even if near the end it starts to become just a Mahjong manga again, because Fukumoto likes Mahjong so much.
Also, cult hit suggestion that I don't believe has an anime, nor do I believe it will ever probably get one. Samidare of the Stars, or alternatively localized to Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer.
Nice. That's a good name.
Is a slice of life manga about a boy and a girl who want to end up saving the world several times, but they're plotting to destroy the world several times, but it's actually about coming of age. It's real weird. I don't like it.
Cute. Go read Pandora Hearts.
Pandora Hearts is really good, and the anime did not cover most of the material.
The anime did the thing where it just sort of diverged partway through, and I don't even think the anime is, like, bad or anything.
No.
But that manga goes to a bunch of really cool places, and is, like, the best thing I can compare it to is, like, edgy Alice in Wonderland, but even that doesn't do it service, like, at all.
If you're... we eventually need to get to just, like, general manga recommendations. Well, however... Yeah.
Well, right now, we're trying to do, like, stuff that isn't finished, or stuff that's, like, it's kind of got an anime. We'll do, like, here's our favorite manga video or podcast episode sometime in the next couple of months.
If you have not seen the anime, and also if you like older things, Jing King of Bandits is amazing. Oh, in King manga of Bandits
Jing is so good. I haven't read it, I've watched it, but that shit's great. Other recommendations are, like, just go read Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, guys. It's so incredible. A thing that is still getting anime adaptation, but it's probably going to be way quicker to read the manga. I know this is an answer we come to all the time, but y'all read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure yet? Part 7 might be the best shit ever.
This is true.
I hate to be that predictable, but, like, right now they've animated parts 1 through 5. We're near the end of part 8 being published, right?
We are.
When part 8 is finished, please let me know so I can finally read it, because I refuse to read that shit weekly. Other stuff? Is there any, like, other ongoing stuff? Like, I recommend the Dr. Stone manga just because I think it's a really good manga. It's just fun. But yeah, like, I'm not trying to go down this list and be like, here's every one of the great manga I got on deck, you know? But I feel like we covered a pretty broad stretch of stuff for, like, anime fans getting over, which I think is probably...
Yeah, but I'm not letting a manga episode go by without saying, all of you, this is a directive, an order, a hypnotic suggestion. Go read Katahio Hitman Reborn.
I knew it was coming. And then
fucking review boost it to shit on every platform.
I knew Hitman Reborn was gonna come up. I knew at the end you were going to be like, everybody, any human being who can read in any language, I need you to read Hitman Reborn.
This is just true.
Right now.
In fact, burn all of your other manga. Go forth.
Literally, anytime Xavier gets really serious about recommending something that people haven't, like, really watched or read, I flip a coin in my head and I go, is he going to talk about Hitman Reborn or Eye Shield 21? And if he's been drinking,
should read Eye Shield 21. If you haven't read either of those things, look, hey, look, all right,
asshole.
No, fuck you. One of the most famous things ever, Psycho Pass, was designed by Akira Amino, the writer and artist of Hitman Reborn. So everyone can shut up, all right? Go read it.
I was going to say, and if Xavier has been drinking, it will be neither of those things, because he will recommend Hajime no Ippo when he has been drinking.
Or Kamen Rider, but don't do that.
That's a rabbit hole for another time. But yeah, are there any, like, lasting bullet points for getting into manga? Because I know the second half of this has been more of, like, a if you're an anime fan, here's some vague advice and some vague series recommendations. Is there anything from your pre-production notes that I haven't fucking seen that you think we should cover as like a closing area?
No, I think we covered most of it, but one thing I will say is I think the most important takeaway, the too long didn't read. Just don't let anyone force you into reading anything you don't want to read. Only read the things you enjoy, or don't read at all.
Oh yeah, if you give some manga a try, right, and you just feel like the medium isn't for you, that's fine. Watch anime. We like anime. It's in the name of the podcast, dude. Yeah, no, don't let anybody control or like strong arm you into certain series. Like, it's okay to let your friend be like, come on, dude, read one volume of this manga, but don't feel like you need to read the whole damn thing. Because I've had people be like, read this one volume of manga, and then I read it and I didn't like it and I dropped it. And then I've had Xavier be like, hey, Trey, you gonna read Berserk? And then I read 100 chapters of Berserk in 2 days. Yeah, so it's fine to take recommendations, but make sure that you're like taking care of yourself and only really putting time, you know, your limited amount of time you have for your hobbies into stuff you're really having a good time with.
Absolutely. And I think that is as good a spot as any to say thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Absolutely. Have yourselves all a great weekend. Have yourself a great Saturday, Sunday, Monday through Friday. We'll be here next Saturday morning to talk more about our terrible, horrible, perfect weeb opinions.
Correct.